Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter. We are now in a section, chapter 2, verses 11 through 21, that we'll be looking at today. And we'll be speaking to the very common thread that occupies this section, 1 Peter, and I'll explain that as we get into it. So, if you will, please turn, picking up at verse 11 in chapter 2, and we'll be reading down through verse 21. That is chapter of page 815 in your pew Bible. First Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and understanding that comes from his word. I can remember a particular counseling session very well. We were in our first year, very first year of the church, and I was in the basement at Julie Soltis' house. The woman I was counseling was a wife in a family that had come to us from the phone call campaign, so I had not known her before she started coming to the church, nor the family. She and her husband had been having significant difficulties, and they had three, not five, difficult teenagers. But there were lots of difficulties in the family, and I had been called to the home several times to talk with the entire family. On this particular occasion, though, we were downstairs at Julie's house. Julie was upstairs in the kitchen. The subject this time was the relationship that she had with her husband. They both had a temper, and sometimes the fireworks were pretty spectacular. So what we were talking about was how to deal with disagreements. And that's when she said this particular sentence. She said, Pastor Arch, I have trouble with the S word. Now, I wasn't real sure which S word she was talking about. And so I just kind of leaned back in my chair and I said, the S word? And she said, yeah, you know, submission. She didn't even like saying the word. I think submission is a problem to most of us, actually. We just don't like the idea, at least when it's we who are having to do it. Submission isn't just a big problem when it's the other person submitting to us. Somehow we can get along with that. We can actually even like it. But it's only when we face it. For whatever reason, when we have to give in and when we have to do it, that it seems to be a problem. Now, why is it a problem? Why is the whole idea of submission a problem? Well, mostly pride, right? We don't like to submit because we don't want other people telling us what to do. Fancy that. Sometimes, as in slavery, or with an arrogant boss, when we can't afford to quit our job, sometimes it's hard because there may very well be truly injustice present. There may be true injustice present. But even when we have to submit unjustly, issues with our pride are often still present. There may be other issues present also, but those are there. So there's no way around it. Christians have to deal with submission. As a matter of fact, what I hope to convince you of here today is that submission, properly understood, is at the very essence, is of the very essence of the Christian faith. You can't have Christian faith apart from submission. Submission is not something, just something that Christians do. Submission is at the very core of their person. If a person does not demonstrate a heart of submission, then we have to question whether Christianity is actually present or not. When you and I look at our lives, when we face that mirror in the morning, whenever it is that we look at it, what do we see there? Do we see a heart of submission staring back out of our eyes at each other, at ourselves? Or do we see a face of pride? That's what we're going to talk about today. And I started to title this sermon, The Joy of Submission, but I just couldn't do that. But we are going to talk about it as being a pathway of joy. Now, why am I talking about submission? Well, the first thing I want us to see is that submission is the unifying thread in all that Peter is writing in this whole section of his letter. The section starts up in verse 11, where Peter says that we are to be different than the world around us. We are to live like sojourners and pilgrims, like tourists, if you will, in this world. This world is not our home. We are supposed to live as if it is not our home. And we're to turn away from fleshly lusts and live in such a way that non-Christians notice us and notice that we are different. And then starting in verse 13, Peter starts giving precise, very specific, concrete examples of how we're to be different. That's when he picks up with those words that I mentioned when we preached on that verse. Therefore, in order to live as a special people under God, submit yourself, he says, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, we talked about that to some extent last week. We spoke about how God tells us in this section, this is my will for you. This is the will of God for you. You don't need to go looking for some door opening or some flash of light or something like that. You want to know what God's will for your life is? He tells you, this is my will for you, that you are to do good in this world and to put to silence the ignorance of evil men. That's what we discussed last week. That's what God wants for us to do. His will for us is to do good, and submitting to the government of men is part of doing good. And jumping ahead to verse 18 in our passage today, Peter says, slaves, be submissive to your master, and to do so with all fear. Slaves, do good for your masters. Work hard for them, for this is commendable, he says. Submit to them, rather than being passive-aggressive and snarling at them behind their back because they're your master and you're their slave. Rather, go out of your way to do a good job for them. Not so it'll be easy on yourself, but as a means of glorifying God. That's a toughie, isn't it? And as we think about that, if we move on down to chapter 3, verse 1, as we'll be getting to at some point in the future, Peter says, wives, submit to your husbands, even when they are jerks, even if they're a non-Christian. Be submissive. We'll get to that passage in a bit, and we'll talk about it some more. Then in chapter 3, verse 7, Peter says, husbands, likewise, just like your wives, dwell with your wives, giving honor to them. Now, Peter doesn't use the S word particularly for the husband, but as I will teach when we get to that passage, it's included in the word likewise. You're to submit to your wife by showing honor to her. The same essential heart attitude, that of submission, is to govern the husband just as it does the wife in the marriage relation. Then lastly, in chapter 3, verse 8, Peter will teach us that we're to be submissive to each other within the church. We are to be of one mind, loving each other as brothers, not returning evil for evil or bad words for bad words. We even have to put up with the music we don't like. But rather, we are to be a blessing to each other, to do good instead of turning away. We are to turn the other cheek and to show love for one another. Now, when we look at those verses, we could say that what Peter is saying in those verses could be applied to every call to submission that he has mentioned thus far. This is how Peter says that we are to be with each other in the church is exactly how we're to be with each other under the government, or with slaves submitting to their masters, or wives submitting to their husbands, or husbands submitting to their wives. Submission to each other is at the heart of how we are to be distinctly different from the world around us in the way that we view each other and the way we treat each other. And in doing good, this idea of submission in the act of doing good is the means by which God is the will of God for us to bring glory to his name. So as we step back then and look at this entire section of Scripture, what is it we see? What lies at the heart of a distinctly Christian lifestyle that Peter is calling on us to exhibit? What's the unifying theme? Submission, right? I don't think there could be any question of it. Therefore, submission lies at the heart of our Christian walk of what it means to be a Christian. We need to get our mind right about and stop thinking about this idea of submission in the way that the world does. This is one of the ways that we're going to be different from the world, is the way that we view this whole idea of submission. So having seen the importance of submission, let's look now at how to understand it. And under this heading, the first thing, the most important thing, the thing that is to govern submission wherever it is, there is a need for it, is this. Submission, first and foremost, is always to God. It is first to God, and then as a byproduct of being submissive to God, it is to be submissive to other people. Verse 21, slaves, submit to your masters. Why? Look at the passage. Slaves, submit to your masters. Verse 21, why? For to this you were called. Slaves were to submit to their masters because they were to understand that for reasons beyond them, that they could understand, that they could see, for some reason known only to him, God had so arranged it that that was the condition of life that they were in. They were slaves because God had ordered the universe in such a way, the course of history in such a way, the circumstances of their life in such a way, that God had placed them in the very position of being a slave. That's why they were there. Submission in every instance, we're moving now from the particular to the general. In every instance, we are to see that wherever we are called to submission, we're called into a particular relation where submission is to be executed. And why are we there? Because God has put us there. We are placed there by God, called by God to be there at that point in order for us to submit. That's God's calling on our life. I am here, we would say, dealing with whatever it is I'm facing because God has placed me here in whatever it is I'm facing. And he intends to use me here in some way to accomplish his will. And he will then bring good out of it in whatever it is that I do in being submissive. God intends to work in and through me, in and through my submission, to cause all things to work together for good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purposes. Brothers and sisters, when we submit from the heart in whatever it is we face, because that's what God has called us to do. It's fundamental to the way that God brings glory to Himself. Strangely enough, at least according to our perspective, it's God's way of causing things to work out a lot better than they would work out if we did things the way we wanted. It's trusting that God knows better than what we do. I'm speaking now using a representative example, not a specific. But if I want to get in somebody's face rather than submitting to them, at that particular point in time, I'm not really trusting that God knows better how to bring good out of that than I do. I know you guys don't struggle with that, but just a personal example. When we're having trouble with submission, no matter where it is, it's always because we don't like it. It's always because in our hearts, we don't want to do things God's way. We want to do them our way. We want to get the glory. In essence, we don't want God to get the glory unless God gets glory by doing things our way. And we're willing to negotiate on that point. But brothers and sisters, do you see how that whole act of submission is aimed to bring out exactly that kind of heart attitude? Nothing will reveal the idolatry that hides in our hearts quicker than the call to submit. Nothing will show us the pride that really controls our thinking better than being told to do something we don't want to do because we think it's humiliating to give in and be submissive. We might think this might be why God calls us to submit. We might think that God's whole plan is to place us in a position to be submissive so that we recognize that we struggle with the sin of not wanting to be humble, of not really wanting to be a servant, of not really wanting to serve others as a way of life, as a way of serving God Himself. The first thing we ought to notice about submission, wherever and whenever we encounter it, is that we must first ultimately view it as the call of God, as the purpose God has for us at that particular instance. He has called us to be submissive. And not just generally, but specifically, in whatever particular circumstance or relationship that He has placed us in. We don't choose the government that God has placed us under. To some extent, we don't choose the husband or wife that we have been given. Yes, we do play a part in it. But in fact, it is God who has given us the husband or wife that we have. We may be single. We may choose to be single or not. But at its root, God has called us to that single life for however long it lasts. Our children, our parents, the people in our school, the place that we work, everywhere, in every relation that we find, it is not a chance thing that we are there. It is not a chance thing that we have been given those specific people, that specific institution, in which to be challenged by submission. That's God's ordering of this whole universe. We don't know why He does things exactly the way He does them. We only know one thing that we are to know very clearly, that in those circumstances, we are to submit. Yea, verily, thus says the Lord. The last thing I want to notice on this subject today, though, is that the idea of joy in submission. I want us to notice that submission, as Brandy has already mentioned today, is not just a stoic, stiff upper lip, bearing up under difficulties, a type of thing. Christian submission is rooted in the joy of following Christ, of walking in His footsteps, of bearing our cross and following Him. Verse 21 again. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered to us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Brothers and sisters, I don't think it gets any plainer or more clear in all of Scripture than this. Our submission in the things God calls us to face are to be patterned after and based upon the example of Christ. Jesus' entire life was a life of submission. He lived among His disciples as their Lord, but He was a Lord who submitted Himself to them, who washed their feet, who bore with their trials. He lived in submission to His Father's will. He saw His disciples as the ones that His Father had given Him. He says so explicitly in His high priestly prayer, those whom You have given Me, He prayed for. He loved them because they were the ones that the Father had given Him to love. He died for them because that's what the Father had sent Him to do for them. And yet, this was not stiff upper lip stuff. He did all of this for the joy that was set before Him. It was for the joy set before Him that He endured the cross. It was for the joy of serving His Father that He said, nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done. Yes, Jesus was a man of sorrows and He was acquainted with grief. Absolutely. But that didn't grow out of being submissive. He was not sorrow and grief over having to submit. It was His delight to do His Father's will. That's what He says in Hebrews. Here am I delight in doing Your will, He said. That's what He came to do. His sorrow and His grief were an expression of His love and His compassion for these poor, brain-dead children who are so burdened with sin and misery that they bring on themselves. He was acquainted with grief. He was sorrowful over looking at our lives and seeing how miserable sin had made us. Submission for Jesus was not stiff upper lip, gritted teeth, just dealing with stuff day in and day out. Submission for Jesus was a pathway of peace. Submission was how He played an active role, a healing role, a reconciling role in the world throughout His whole life. Bearing our cross, as Randy very clearly said today, and following Jesus has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus' actual cross. The cross that Jesus bore was His specific cross that God used in a specific way. The cross we bear is our specific cross, and God will use it in a specific way. But this we have in common with Christ. The cross He bore and the cross we bear are both based essentially and particularly on submission. On putting the will of God above our own will and facing our lives with confidence in doing so. Knowing that in submission God will bring about His good ends, we may not know, as Jesus exactly knew, what God will do with our witness and with our good works. But brothers and sisters, we know this, that when we submit with a heart that desires to submit, when we submit from the heart in hope, then we know that it will not be wasted. It will not. God will use our lives. He will use our works in ways that we simply cannot imagine. It is a lie to believe that submission in and of itself is without joy. It may not be pleasant in all of its aspects. Death on a cross is not pleasant. But joy is not absent, even in death itself. And certainly not in those things that most of us face in our ordinary lives that are far short of facing death. The joy is in the hope. The knowledge that God is working in our individual lives, and with our very own eyes, we will see our Redeemer, and with our very own words, we will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. He will show us through our submission where He has brought fruit. He will show us when we submit to the heart. One day we will see the fruit that He has brought from that. Some will bring tenfold, some will bring 50-fold, some will bring 100-fold. But brothers and sisters, He will bring fruit from it. There is no wasted witness. He will do it because this He has promised to do. Let's pray.